Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor Brandon Lindell, Executive Ministry Pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
So this morning, I want to speak to you from a few minutes from the subject, seeing the resurrected Savior. Seeing the resurrected Savior. And we're going to be looking at the Easter account on that first Easter Sunday morning in a passage from John chapter 20. It's just really a great passage that brings the message of Easter to life in such an amazing way. So let's look at it together. John chapter 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look in the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord," she said, "and I don't know where they put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize that it was Jesus. And he asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Thinking that he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Don't hold me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. An amazing story. You know, I wonder if you've come in here today and you see all the celebration and you see the excitement and you're kind of wondering, what's the big deal about the resurrection? Why are we so excited about it? I think you need to know that when Jesus in the Gospels, when he rose again, he didn't say, "I was the resurrection," or "I was resurrected." He said, "I am the resurrection. I am alive. I am the resurrection and life." It's not some historical thought. It's a present tense reality that Jesus is alive. And because he is alive, he can change your life today because he is the resurrection. Yeah, come on, give God some praise in this place. He is the resurrection. And because of that, you can experience his life-changing power. In fact, in a few moments, we're going to give you the opportunity to experience the life-changing power of the resurrection, the present tense reality. You know, I don't know about you, but in life, have you ever just wished that you could have a do-over? You said something, and as the words were coming out of your mouth, you're like, "No." I just wish I could just press a button and just take that back, right? Some of you, your wife asked you how she looked this morning and you're just wishing there was a do-over button. Some of you, you said something at work once and you're like, "Man, I hope everybody forgets that." You wish you had a do-over, a button that you could just press. You know, it's funny to think about, but for some people that's a really serious thought. You look at your marriage and you're like, "Man, I wish I could have a do-over on that." You look at your parenting, you say, "I wish I could have a do-over." You're like living in the choices of life and you're just like, "Whew, if I could press a button and just have a do-over." Here's the truth. Jesus is alive. The resurrection is a present tense reality. And because he's alive and the resurrection is a present tense reality, he offers you the opportunity to start over again. that you can have a do-over and have experience, not just an improved life, but a new life, because Jesus is alive and he's resurrected. And we see three truths in this story about Mary that help us understand and experience his life-changing power. I think it's important for you to understand that Mary had followed Jesus. Mary is not the mother of Jesus. There were several Marys in the Bible, in the Gospels. She's not the mother of Jesus. She's not the sister of Martha. In fact, Mary actually was a prostitute. She was from a town called Magdala. It was on the Sea of Galilee, and she lived a rough life. But when she encountered Jesus in faith, touched her heart, and she believed that he was alive and rose again, it changed her life forever. The first thing we see in this story is you can know about Jesus and still miss Jesus. You can know about Jesus and still miss Jesus. Here's the thing you need to understand. Jesus, several times through the Gospels, said, you know what's going to happen to me? I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be handed over to the chief priest. They're going to crucify me. I'm going to die. And then I'm gonna rise again. He had said that four different times through the Gospels. His disciples would have known it. Those following, Mary had followed Jesus. She would have heard him say that. And yet, she knew about Jesus, but she still missed Jesus. You know, that's an important thing for everyone to think about here today, because maybe you grew up in church. Maybe you can quote Bible verses. Maybe you're like, I kind of know my way around the story of Jesus. But knowing your way around the story of Jesus is not the same as knowing Jesus. I think it's a sad reality to be around Jesus. In fact, you see that in this story, don't you? Mary's broken. This is Resurrection Sunday. It's Easter Sunday. And she's broken. She's sad. Why? Is it because Jesus wasn't resurrected? No, Jesus was resurrected. Is she broken because Jesus can't change her life? No, Jesus can change her life. She's broken because she can't see him. She missed Jesus. It's because she had made some assumptions. She had heard things about what he said. She had heard some things about Jesus, but she made some assumptions about Jesus that were incorrect. And maybe you're here today and you're missing Jesus because you're assuming things about Jesus that aren't true. You're assuming he's not real. Yeah, I think people talk about that. Or he's not God. Or he's just some good moral teacher. And when you assume things about Jesus that are incorrect, you miss the power of the resurrection. Just like Mary, you miss Jesus. It's until you believe the central truth that Jesus died and rose again. That's when you experience his life-changing power. That's when you get all the power of the resurrection. You have to believe that. You have to believe that Jesus died for your sin. It's all through the gospel in the New Testament. It says this in Romans chapter 5, but God demonstrated his love for us in this. Here's how did he do it? While we were sinners, Christ died for us. You have to believe that Jesus is the only way to God. That's a hard thing in our culture. Our culture is very pluralistic, meaning that our culture believes there are multiple ways to God. But that's not the truth of Scripture. And if you believe that, you'll die in your sin and go to hell because you're not believing the truth. You're actually believing a lie. Scripture says this, Jesus is the only way to God, John 14. Jesus said this, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You have to believe he's the only way. He's the door, he says. I'm the only way to God. And you must be born again. Jesus said this in John chapter 3. Should you be surprised at me saying, you must be born again? Again, what's it mean to be born again? It's when you believe the truth that Jesus died and rose again, you make him Lord of your life, and he literally changes you into a new person. How exciting is that? That's the power of the resurrection. Is that it's not that you thinking it, it's you believing it, and God coming into your life and doing what you can never do on your own, because you don't just know about Jesus, but you experience the power of Jesus, and that's what God wants for you today. The second thing we see is you can be near Jesus and still not see Jesus. Look at it in verse 14. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize it was Jesus. Woman, he said, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where he is so I can get him. You know what's interesting? She's looking right at Jesus. She's seeing with her own eyes the resurrected Savior, but she's seeing him but not seeing him. This is like the person who comes in to church. Maybe you're here today and you haven't been in church in a while, and you feel the presence of God. You're experiencing God's presence. Maybe you're at one of the campuses. You're experiencing God's presence. But experiencing and feeling the presence of God isn't the same as knowing Jesus. You're like Mary. She's literally in the presence of Jesus, but she doesn't see Jesus. He's just a person there. There's no life change, no power. Her brokenness is still there. That's why there's a lie in our culture that people say, I'm just spiritual. I don't even know what that means. I'm just spiritual. It's like an intangible. It's not real. It's not powerful. The only real reality in saying I'm spiritual is a demonic reality, because it's a lie. Being spiritual does not change your life. Being around the things of God does not change your life. Having a Christian family does not change your life. Being in church does not change your life. It's when you see Jesus. How do you see Jesus? Why couldn't she see him? Because she wasn't looking at him through the eyes of faith. She was looking at him in the natural, and she needed to see him through the eyes of faith. How do you have the eyes of faith? It's when you make a decision to say, Jesus, I believe you are Lord. I believe you died, and I believe you rose again. That God opens your eyes supernaturally to the reality of who he is. And until you do that, you are dead. You are blind, just like Mary. How could she not see it? She wasn't looking through the eyes of faith. It's just like some of you, you're here and you're like, I've never experienced that life change. And you think it's because being a good person gets you to see Jesus. Or, man, I came on Easter Sunday and hopefully that's good enough for God. No, it's when you see him through the eyes of faith. He wants to put faith in your heart so you can see him today. Number three, you can know Jesus when you put your faith in Jesus. Watch this. This is cool. Verse 16, Jesus said to her, Mary, she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Notice she turned toward him. That's when faith hits her heart. She makes a decision to turn to Jesus. That's when she experiences his life-changing power. It's when she turns. That's when you say, I'm turning from the way I'm living, I'm turning from the way I'm thinking, the way I've thought about Jesus, the way I've thought about God, and I'm turning to him as the resurrected Savior. That's when your eyes are open and God radically transforms your life. It's a decision. It's not a thought. It's not just a good idea, it's a decision. That's where the power of God enters your life. And I know for many people across the campuses, you've made that decision. You've experienced God's life-changing power when you turn to him. But I also know, in a room this size and across the campuses, there are many people and God is distant to you. And Jesus feels distant and you haven't experienced this life-changing power. Why? And I just want to submit to you, there's excitement in the resurrection. This is going to be the best day of your life if you say, God, I'm turning to Jesus today. I'm turning to Jesus. Here's the thing. When she turned to Jesus, she realized he was rose again. She said, oh my goodness, you're alive. Why is that exciting? Because if Jesus rose again, and because Jesus rose again, anything is possible. That means there's nothing in your life that God cannot change. There's no situation, no person in here, you're too far for God, or I don't know how, God, you could clean up this mess. No, because he's alive, anything is possible. Oh, come on, give God some praise in this place. If you're thankful, there's power in the resurrection. Oh, because he's alive, we can be alive. Because he's alive, you can have freedom. Because he's alive, he can break that addiction. Because he's alive, he can lift you out of that depression. Because he's alive, he can save your marriage. Because he's alive, he can do in you what you could never do on your own. Because of the resurrection, anything is possible. And I believe God is touching people's hearts right now across every campus, and faith is igniting. And the question is, will you turn to Jesus? Will you say, I'm turning from my life, my way of thinking, my assumptions, my brokenness, and I'm turning to the only one who can give me life, the resurrected Savior. It's a powerful decision that will transform your life. And I don't want to just tell you about it. I want to show you. I want to show you the story of Mark and Casey. They, on a Sunday just like this, they gave their lives to Jesus. And then when they turned to Jesus, they made that decision. It transformed their life forever. Watch this.
Hi, my name is Mark Hoggle. This is my wife, Casey, and we attend James River West Campus. We met in 2012, had a mutual friend that happened to be Casey's brother, and they came over to the house, and we hit it off. Fell for her pretty much instantly.
One day we were holding hands, and he like made a comment about how small my hands were. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is it. Like, this is perfect. I think we both knew pretty early on that there was something special between us that we hadn't really experienced before.
I've always believed in God. For appearances' sake, I might come to church. It wasn't a true relationship with God.
Definitely did not seek out a relationship with God.
Didn't realize how far away I was from him until it all came kind of crumbling down. I had a drinking problem from the moment that we met. I had a stressful job. I would use drinking and alcohol to cope with any problems that I encountered. It consumed my life. It started what I would consider slow, and then eventually evolved, you know, to the tune of upwards of, you know, 2-3 cases of beer a day.
Things were at their worst. He was drinking almost constantly. I mean, he was up late, so he would sleep in the mornings, and the next day, you know, be drinking again before you even really realized it was a new day.
I felt like I was failing.
We were living in the same house, but we were just each living our own lives.
Which just got me into a deeper hole of addiction, which transformed and spiraled into gambling, drinking, smoking, anything that I could do. I was doing it. I had depression, thoughts of suicide on the regular. Anxiety, panic attacks.
It got really, really bad. I was just trying to get through each day and hope that maybe it would get better, but it didn't. It was just survival more. I didn't know what to do, and I was scared that this was gonna be my life forever, that was as good as it was gonna get, and that would be it. Which was a really scary place to be.
I was you know, basically blacking out every night. And I hated myself to the point where I wanted to kill myself. I did not want to be on the earth anymore.
One night in particular, I remember he came and woke me up and said he was gonna kill himself and we were gonna be better without him. That was the hardest part, for sure. Worrying I was gonna lose him and being afraid that I was gonna come home from work and like find him was a real fear for a while. We had already done everything that we could do. I knew we had to cry out to God.
I was at my last resort and I had nothing else to lose. Around Easter time, we decided to go to James River Church. When we walked in that day, throughout worship, throughout the message, everything was encouraging.
The whole time, you could just tell God was just like nudging us, like all throughout the service.
I was ready for a change, and I knew that that change was only gonna come if I accepted Jesus in my life. Whenever they had the altar call and asked for folks to come down, I raised my hand. As soon as I started walking down the aisle, the weight was just off my shoulders. I had withdrawal symptoms that whole week of shaking, anxiety and panic and all those kind of things. And it was gone. Walking down the aisle, it was gone.
I raised my hand that day and we both got baptized together the very next week.
Ever since I gave my life to Jesus, I am completely different. I am no longer addicted to alcohol. I'm not depressed. I don't have any suicidal thoughts. I feel purpose. I feel meaning.
He's a completely different person.
Giving our lives to Jesus Christ is the best decision we've ever made.
Yeah, the best.
Come on, can we praise the Lord right now? Lord, we thank you that you save. We thank you that there's no situation that you cannot turn around. We praise your name, Lord. Praise your name. So good. I love that. I love watching a story of the truth. And as a pastor, you get to see it happen over and over again in the lives of people where people are walking and they're like, I don't even know how this could ever change. And they give their lives to Jesus and he turns their life around. He does what they could never do. And it's so powerful when we believe the truth that Jesus, the resurrected Savior, he is the resurrection, present tense, can change our life. I mean, you think of a situation like that, like Mark and Casey's, and if they came to you and they were sitting across the table from you and they were telling you what they're walking through. And they were saying, you know, Mark's saying, I'm drinking 3 to 4 cases of beer a day. I'm blacking out every night. Our marriage is not good. We're basically distant roommates at best. I'm addicted to other stuff. I'm getting into gambling, just to anything to fill my life to cope. And I'm depressed. I'm riddled with anxiety. And she says, yeah, last night he came to me and said he wants to take his life. He wants to end it. What do you tell somebody like that? What kind of hope can you give them? The truth is, you and I cannot give them any hope on our own. There's no like steps they can take or ways they can fill that hole in the human heart, but we can say this: Jesus is alive, and if you put your hope in him, he can change your life. He will change you from the inside out. You'll be born again. Because he's alive, anything is possible, and he can change your situation. And that's the truth for them. I mean, they're doing great. They attend the West Campus, and they're doing awesome since they gave their life to Jesus. It's the truth for them, and it's the truth for you today. Jesus can change your life. It doesn't matter what the darkness of your situation looks like. It doesn't matter how deep you're in a hole. Jesus can come as the resurrected Savior and change you from the inside out. But you might be saying, Brandon, if you knew my situation, if you knew how bad it was, if you knew how far I am from God, what I've said, what I've done, I don't know that you'd be saying that. Here's the thing. Jesus can change any life. There's no, Jesus Christ, here's the truth. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, came to destroy the power of the devil. I don't care what the enemy's done to try to wreck your life, to bring chaos to your situation, to try to destroy your mind. Jesus can instantly bring his peace, his power, and his presence. But it comes as you put your faith in him. As you say, Jesus, I believe you can do what I cannot do. He'll change your life. But it comes as you make a decision. His power can transform your life.